Sanbonani, this is Z Nkosi, and you are tuned in to Cut to the Chase with Gregory Proctor.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Cut to the Chase. This is your host, Gregory Proctor. And today we will be featuring episode 61, Never Give Up. So I'm going to open up with a quote because our featured guest today is in a far, far land. And the reason why we are going to be talking about Never Give Up is because her backstory represents a story of inspiration and triumph and movement that we should all glean some satisfaction and be proud to be affiliated and associated with this young lady. So my quote today basically states, if you fall behind, run faster. Never give up. Never surrender and rise against the odds. So today to our listeners, our featured guest, Miss Zinoski, a South African creator, social media entrepreneur, humanitarian, and professional model. Oh my God, there's just so many accolades that she has for her age. Z is a broadcaster, she's a broadcasting graduate with over 5 years experience in the media industry. She has worked for major South African broadcasting companies that have helped, which have helped her understand cultural and the aspects of TV and the film industry. She's produced content aimed at education and inspiring, as well as promoting health and better living. As a commercial model, she's been signed under some of the top agencies under RSA, Boss Model, and attending various social events for helping people notice her and help boosting her NGO brand. She's also a humanitarian who has founded ZClaire.org, which basically kind of saved her life at a time where she was struggling, being laid off from her job, having the wherewithal to start a company at the age of 25, which basically provided her purpose and a reason to live. She moved away from home to chase her dreams. And as we all know, when you chase your dreams, we struggle. And we find a sense of loneliness being out there on our own and wondering if our dreams will ever come true. Z had an incredible sad time last year that hit her family with the loss of her brother. It was the first time she experienced death. Her brother's death made her realize that life is too short and she needed to do something to honor him. And I say today to our listeners and to our featured guests, Z is bringing forth that honor in the highest glory of representation in aspect of what she's doing today. And it is quite commendable that we have her online. And so Z, without further ado, do you have any opening remarks?
Thank you so much for that very, very powerful intro. I don't think anyone has ever spoken about me in that light in a way that makes me really feel, you know, get a bit emotional. But yeah, thank you so much. I'm very honored to be part of this platform and just to have discussions with you. And I'm hoping that what we are going to share today and just discuss today is also just going to make other people relate and feel like it's okay to just be yourself and to feel and just release and just leave in the moment and just be a part of life in J as it is, you know, because there's a lot of ups and downs. But at the end of the day, as long as you're just embracing it all, because that's what life truly is. So, yeah, I'm looking
forward to this. Absolutely. Absolutely. So before we jump into our questions, I have I basically have one more quote that I want to read. And it basically goes like this. If one dream should fall and break into 1,000 pieces, never be afraid to pick up one of those pieces and begin again. And so we're going to start off our podcast. We're going to kind of jump into cutting to the chase. So you started your career in broadcasting. And so prior to broadcasting, you were in school. And at that point in time, was your ambition to go into broadcasting? Was that a goal of yours? Walk us through what that was like at that point in time.
So growing up, I was always just like the lonely child who was just always curious about life and curious about things. I'm reading books, I'm watching TV by myself and listening to the radio. So then I got to a point where I realized that I actually enjoy writing. I started writing poetry in high school and I attempted to rap at some point, but then I was like, okay, let me just get into storytelling. And then I started, like, because I was also into drawing. I started doing my own comic books and writing my own stories. You know, when you're a child and you're very like, you would like to explore, but me growing up, obviously in a township, there wasn't much exploring to do. And obviously coming from a very strict family, I wasn't allowed to go out. I wasn't allowed to have friends over. I couldn't even go to the library. So I had to do a lot of things from home and just find ways to entertain myself as a young girl. Then I got into writing, and then obviously then my imagination just went wild. So from the writing, then I realized that, okay, I enjoy writing, but at the time I thought that I enjoyed like creating characters, and I took that as, oh, I should be an actress. So I'm like, oh, definitely when I'm done gay, I'm just going to get into drama, study drama, and then I'm going to get into acting. But as I grew and then became like 18, 19 later on, and then I had to choose when I was in matric, which is grade 12, I had to then pick my career pathway. You are like given, when you're filling in the form for varsities, you're given, like, I think at the time it was 5 or 6 options, and then you list them from your first to your least. So my first option was, okay, let me try and get into production, because I felt like at the time I'm like, let me try and see what this is about, like what happens here. Because at the time also there wasn't a lot of people that I knew who were working behind the scenes, and it was mostly just like people from like privileged backgrounds and things like that. So I mean, I wasn't used to, I had never met a camera woman who's black. I'd never met a black like woman who writes for series and movies and things like that. So I was like, let me try and get in here and see if I can. So it was my first option. But at the time I wasn't like, there wasn't like a passion for it. I didn't know. I just put it there just in G, you know. Like my first option, second option was drama, and then get the rest, I can't remember. And then what happened was the first option actually liked me, and then they called me in for an interview, and I went with my mom and I took all my books and my things. And I think out of everyone, because we were standing there, we were waiting in line for us to be interviewed, and I could see I'm the only one who brought stuff to show. And I'm like, hey, now I'm embarrassed because I have all these books and things that I wrote, and everyone is just standing there looking at me like I'm crazy, like what's up with this one? And then I got into the interview room, and then they liked me, they looked at my books, and they're like, oh, actually you can see what you're going to be, a good storyteller or a good like script writer. And then that's when I discovered the rest of it, and also you can actually produce and video edit and, you know, do a whole lot of things. And yeah, so then I decided to go to, actually I do want to do this. This is actually what I want to do as someone who enjoys telling stories and just creating something out of nothing. And that's basically what they taught us, how to just create, even if it's a short film, like without a budget, you can just start from scratch and just build and have something at the end where you're just like, I completed this without even having to spend much. So I also really enjoyed that process. So yeah, it was really nice for me to discover the way that I discovered my passion for storytelling. It was just beginning. At the beginning, it was just via writing. And I didn't know as a child, as someone who was, you know, who grew up, you know, in a very like traditional family and just being closed off of everything and not having access to like information and knowing what, how do I get into becoming a greater writer or a what, you know. So I'm glad that I discovered myself or my path into like to storytelling via video technology. So I'm glad that I chose video technology. And yeah, otherwise I would have just ended up, I don't know where, doing drama and then realizing that I'm actually camera shy. So that was going to be a problem. But yeah, I really enjoy this.
Well, it's an interesting dynamic that you speak of, because to me, as I look upon, you know, the things that we discovered when we were doing kind of a little bit of backstory on you, you know, your career took very much a kind of an unorthodox type path. And basically you had some experience. I mean, you had some successes in the film and television market. And could you describe to our audience, you know, what happened at that point in time? Because you were right on the verge of having a lot of great success. And then it was like the rug was pulled from underneath you. You kind of lost it all. Can you share some insight with us about that?
Yeah, no, that was a very tough phase in my life, if I'm being honest. So obviously after graduating, then I decided to move to Gauteng, which is like the big city here, where, you know, if you want to make it as someone in the media industry, you just come to Gauteng. So I was just like, for me, I started as, because I had to get my hours for graduation. So I moved to here, you know, with no plan. I was planning on staying here for just a weekend for one gig. And then I ended up just looking for other work and finding work in that way, because I was like, I can't leave Gauteng without just achieving something, you know. And then I got a job as a junior editor. And then from that, I did my hours for graduation, went back, graduated, came back, and then they promoted me into an insert producer for a show that was on SABC One. So with that came also sometimes the presenter couldn't present, or sometimes I had to present and step in and just present my own segments and things like that. So it started really going well. And everyone was like seeing my work on TV. People back home are like, sometimes we see you on TV, you know, because sometimes people think just because you are working like behind the scenes, they might see you, which, okay, they did see me. But like when they were not seeing me, they thought it was also now what happened to you. But I'm like, you're still watching my show. I'm still producing that. So it was a lot of like, it was a nice experience for me to get that hype from back home, which is people are seeing me and also just seeing my work on television. It really just gave me that sense of, I've achieved, or at least I'm, you know, I moved to here. And now things are coming together. And then I think a year later, then the SABC started going through some issues, some financial things, and then they had to retrench and remove some shows. And so our show was cut. And then, because I was like the last person to like be employed, so obviously I was the first person out, one of the first people out. There was a lot of us, I think like majority of the team was cut. So then I was retrenched. How old was I? I think I was 22. I was very young, very young. Imagine, mm-hmm. I'm thinking my life is picking up. I wonder things are going to come together. By the time I'm 25, I have a house, I have a car. You know, I have all these things blending in my head. I'm thinking, everything is going well. Then I get retrenched. And then I'm like, okay, no, it's okay. It was easy for me to find a job when I first moved to Gauteng from back home. When I came here for my graduation hours, I'm like, I know it's going to be chilled. I'm going to find a job soon. I moved to Pretoria, which is like an hour away from Johannesburg. I moved to Pretoria. I stayed with my sister. I'm struggling. I'm like, I am looking for work, but don't worry, I'll find it. You know, I'm very confident. I'm like, the spirit is high, because I just, you know, just left this job thinking, what, I'm going to get other opportunities, because, you know, Gauteng is where it's at. So in my head, it's like, we have a lot of job opportunities here. There's no way I'm not going to get a job within like a month. Greg, I looked for a job, for 2 years, struggling. And then it got to a point where I was like, Gandhi, what is going on? And then like people are like asking me, are you still working? And you know how like once people see your work, then they expect to, every time they see something, then it's you. So it's like they ask me, is it still you? Oh, I saw this show. What was that about? Because also it was an educational show. So people are also very curious about what was happening on the show. Some people even DM me like personally and ask me things. So they're DMing me things. They're asking me questions. I'm like, ish, how can I even tell the people now? I'm not even doing that show anymore. Like I'm not even working. I'm actually struggling. I'm like literally living with my sister, living off my sister. I have nothing. It was just like, Haisham, that was the worst time. Like I, at some point I thought like I should just move back home. But at the same time, it's like I had to decide, if I move back home, then that means I'm giving up. And I don't usually give up that easily. That means now if I move back home, I've been defeated by Gauteng, you know. Also, Vele, in KZN already there's like job opportunities, but they're not enough, because the media industry is not as big as it is here in Gauteng, the broadcasting. So I'm like, if I leave here, am I sure, am I willing to just give up like that? So I had to then go through that time to decide if I want to go back home, or because now also I'm living off my sister and it's not cool because now she's buying the food. I can't even help her with bread. I can't help with anything. And she's also still sending money home and I can't even contribute there. It was a really dark time in my life. And I just fell into like a really deep depression, and I didn't eat, and I didn't go out. I was isolating. I didn't see my friends. I lost a lot of friends actually around that time, a lot of friendships. It just really just took me into a dark, dark place. But yeah, that taste of success is what really kept me feeling like, nah, there's no way I can just leave here like that after experiencing that. Because that means if I could do that and produce like that for that show on SABC One, I can definitely do way much better. You know what I'm saying? I can do more great things. So I was just stuck between feeling like I'm failing, at the same time feeling like I don't want to give up. So it was just a very, like, the conflict was just very, like, it took me to a very dark place, Shane. It was really rough for me. But it was crazy.
Right.
It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of coincidental that at that time in your life, you were experiencing that. Like you said, you were 22, maybe 23 years of old. And I think we all experience, somewhat of a dark time like that in our lives at one point or another. I do like the sincerity of what you were talking about, because of it's very, very relatable in the aspect that psychologically you knew you didn't want to give up, but yet, you know, in real life, you felt like, hey, the world is crumbling around me. You know, what am I to do next if I'm constantly trying to live off my sister, you know, as they say, beg, borrow, you know, not necessarily steal, but the terminology of beg, borrow, and steal. You know, it's commendable that you endured and you sacrificed, and it helped mold and cultivate who you are as a person today, because I personally believe that from what I've seen in your body of work, the next chapter in your life after you experienced what occurred in broadcasting was something that opened up the doors for you that you really didn't have any idea or experience about, which was your commercial modeling career. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk a little bit about that, because, you know, as I understand it, you left the television and film industry, you were living with your sister for 2 years, and then at some point you got into commercial modeling, and then of course you got into some of the top agencies. How did that discovery occur? I mean, you know, walk us through what that transition was like, because like you said, you were in a place where you felt like things were not going well, but yet here's an opportunity that came knocking at your door. And what was going through your mind at that point? Because I remember us kind of briefly discussing the fact during our discovery call that you said, hey, I never really thought about being in modeling, but, you know, it just kind of happened. So walk us through that, if you don't mind.
Yes, that's exactly how it happened. Because since varsity, because I'm a very tall person, I'm like 5'10", I think. Yeah, I'm very tall and dark skinned, and I look like, you know, very Pan-African. So a lot of people were telling me, it's okay, you should maybe try modeling. About growing up, I've been hearing, maybe you should try modeling. Maybe, but I was like, okay, it's not a passion of mine. Like, I'm just going to stand there and whatnot. But anyway, so I did try, I think, from varsity to get into some agencies. And then I just kind of gave up, because, you know, when you're not really passionate about something, you don't really like follow through with it. I gave up because okay, they're rejecting me. So I guess it's not really as easy as people are telling me it's going to be. Well, just because I have the look doesn't mean it's going to come easy. So I just gave up. Right. So during this time here, when I was going through this dark time at my sister's place, and I couldn't do much, I couldn't even help myself or help anyone else, like in my family or anything, I just felt completely useless. So I was like, okay, cool. Maybe let me try in the meantime, while I am wobbling around here trying to figure out my next move, let me try and find like a convenient way to make money. Same thing again. I'm like, okay, let me just try and like apply and send, because you have to send your portfolio to like agencies and then they'll give you your feedback. So I'm like, okay, cool, let me try and apply. So there was this one major modeling agency in South Africa. It's called Boss Models. I tried them before when I was in varsity. They rejected me, I think, like 4 times. And then I was like, hey, guys, and I told my friends, I'm like, they don't want me. These people, it's fine. So I'm like, okay, let me try Boss Models again. This is like, 3 or 4 years later out of varsity. I'm like, let me just try Boss Models again. Because also at the time, I was looking kind of better because I was taking care of myself. And like, I was all about fitness and things like that. So I was in better shape. So I was like, okay, let me take pictures and just send and see what happens. Now, kind of not even thinking much of it, because, you know, I was used to the rejection days. I'm like, many people have been rejecting me. I'm applying here. Everyone is saying, no, we can't take you, wada-wada. We like you, but like, you know, wada-wada. So I'm like, okay, I'm kind of used to rejection by now. Let me also just go here and see if something good is going to come out of it. I submitted my portfolio. I even forgot about it. And then I think they came back to me in Jan the next year, in January. And then they said, yo, Z, we would like to actually like meet you. Can you please come through? And in my head, I'm like, yo, okay, I'm going through all these things. And then now these people are actually responding and they're seeming interested in, because they've never said, can we at least see you? Because they can still see you and then reject you. I'm like, okay, at least sure, this is better than just being rejected by email. So I'm like, okay, cool. Let me not get my hopes up. Let me just go and see what they say. I went, and then the owner was like, you look perfect. Jim would like to sign you, but because I'm too curvy for the runway. So they're like, oh, we can take you as a commercial model. And then if you can lose some more weight and then again, maybe you can do the runway stuff. But I'm like, hey, me, I can't lose more weight, because if I lose more weight than this, I'll definitely be like super, super skinny as a curvy person.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I can take the commercial. I don't mind. The fact that I'm signed under Boss Models to me was just like, that is a big deal for me, especially after trying to get into that, like for like years and years and years. And now finally, while I'm going through these tough times, thinking, I should be chasing the broadcasting thing. And next time this door is also opening here, because I tried to knock, even though I wasn't really sure if it was going to open. Mm-hmm. But the fact that I knocked there and then it opened, I'm like, I'm going to grab this and run with it. So, and then after that, I think 2 months or 3 months later, I can't remember. I got my first major gig. It was my first major, probably, I don't know if it's going to be my last, hopefully not my last, but my first major gig. Mm-hmm. And at the time I was really broke, so I really needed it. I booked an advert. I was booked as one of the main for an advert. I'm not sure if I can say the brand, I think it's a South African brand. It's a whiskey brand.
Okay.
And then they booked me there and I was like, oh, okay, the director liked me. And then they had to dress me up. And I'm like, oh, I'm actually experiencing the modeling thing and not in the way that I thought I would, because I was like, no, they're going to just dress me up. I'm doing catalogs and catwalk. But I'm like, okay, so now when I'm discovering, I'm learning about modeling. Okay, there's different things that go into it, and also there's just different types of modeling. I was like, okay, I can actually do this. I don't have to talk because I'm kind of camera shy. Like, I don't even have to say much. I can say just one or two lines, and then I'm getting paid. I won't say how much I got paid, but it was like really good money, and it lasted me until. I'm going to get into that, but also something else ended up happening that also gave me like another opportunity to make money. And I was like, wow, so I still have this money and then I can use this money from this. And it just, things just started coming together after the knock at Boss Models. When that door opened, a lot of other things opened and it was really unexpected. So yeah, definitely. And then now I'm enjoying it. I'm still part of that family. I just updated my portfolio like a week ago at Boss Models. So yeah, I'm just really, really grateful to be part of Boss Models, because it took me years to get in there. So I would understand, you would see, just because you have the look doesn't necessarily mean what you're going to get far or you're going to get anyway, especially nowadays. Because back in the days when it was a modeling thing, they would just pick you on the side of the street. So, you look nice. Can we take pictures of you and things like that? Can we sign you? Nowadays, you must go knock, because everyone is hungry. Everyone is knocking, you know. So I'm glad that I took that step. It's okay, even though they rejected me, but let me just knock one last time. And then the door opened and, you know, greater things just started happening. That's just really good for me, because, gee.
Right.
Yeah, it just taught me like things also just about myself to appreciate my body and yeah, things like that.
Absolutely. Which that kind of brings me up to basically, my third quote, which is never give up, because great things take time. You know, you started out in the broadcasting career field in television and the film industry, and then you were discovered via, you know, being a commercial model. And then, of course, you know, that's really not even the tip of the iceberg, because the things that I find that are so intriguing that I want to talk about is the Zinclair. You know, the Zinclair to you was something that was life-saving. It was inspiring. It was something that through your traditional family upbringing that you saw with your own eyes as to how your parents, your mother and father worked towards, you know, instilling these principles and core philosophies into you. And now you have started Zinclair.org as something that has embraced the purpose in life. Can you share with us what Zinclair.org is all about?
So Zinclair.org is a lifestyle organization. I founded that when I was 25 years old, still going through the depression. I think it was 2018. And I asked myself, because at the time I was really depressed and kind of suicidal, which no one really knows about this in my family, but I was very suicidal. I was living with my sister, and I asked myself, this is just before I got signed by Boss Models. I asked myself, if I do this, which is commit suicide, like what am I going to gain from it? Because no one knows what happens when you did. And I was like, okay, cool. So I'm either going to die and just be a floating around spirit, and then I'm never going to achieve my dreams, or I can find a reason to stay. And then I asked myself, what could give me a reason to stay? Like I said, I had no money. I had nothing. I couldn't even contribute, like via sending money at home or buying groceries at my sister's place. I couldn't do anything. So I thought like, okay, like how can I give back or do something that's going to make me feel like I am contributing or that I'm existing in this world and I'm making an impact. And that's when I decided, let me just come up with something that's going to be very personal for me. And that's when I started Zinhle.org. So my full name, my nickname is Uzi, but my full name is Zinhle. But it's not the same as this Zinhle. So then I decided, okay, I don't want to name it Zinhle Organization because then it's going to be like, I know, why is it Zinhle Organization? So I'm like, let me just come up with something unique. Then I came up with this name. At the same time, I wasn't even sure if it was going to work. I was just like, because I can't sit and not do anything. So I'm like, I'm struggling to find work. What can I do? And then when I thought about this, I'm like, okay, let me just jot down some ideas. So I was just jotting down the ideas. I didn't even think it was going to, you know, come to life at the time because I couldn't even afford to do much. But I'm like, okay, let me think about it. So I'm like, okay, Zinhle. I took Zen. I think it's Japanese. It means precious and rare, genuine. And then Clay, I think it's from Latin word meaning bright and clear. So I'm like, okay, cool. Let me create Zinhle. So it sounds like you're pronouncing my name, but it's not really my name. It's not Zinhle, but it's Zinhle, you know. Then I'm like, okay, cool. It sounds nice. And then now what am I about? So I'm like, okay, cool. I can give back. And how can I make money to give back? Because I didn't want to have to ask people to send me money to buy things, food for other people. Because the point is for me to feel like I'm making a difference, right? So I'm like, okay, cool.
Sure.
I can try and do the film stuff, maybe again, work on that. And then the money that I make from that, I can use a percentage of it to contribute. So initially, Zinhle was going to be like a production company. And then I was like, but I'm already struggling to find work. And then to start a production company is also going to be another mission for me. So I was like, okay, cool. Let me put that on hold in the meantime. But how can I give back while I have nothing? And then I decided, okay, let me focus on the NGO side of it. And then I realized it's okay. I do have things I can give back. Cause also that's when I discovered Buddhism, which is like, you can always give back, even if it's just your time, even if you have nothing
to
dedicate your time and things like that. I'm like, I have a whole lot of clothes. So that's when it started. Yeah, my first donation was me donating some of my clothes with my sister. And then I did some branding stuff. And then that's when I got the modeling gig. And then I got some money from that. I took some of that money and I gave it back because I feel like...
Okay, so after I was retrenched and then I struggled a bit to, you know, get back on my feet because it wasn't as easy as I thought. I thought I was just going to find something within like a matter of weeks. And then when I moved to Pretoria, I had to move to Pretoria because my sister is the only family member that I have here in Gauteng. So it was either that or moving back home. So I was like, hey, let me just go chill at my sister's place for a while. Because in my head, I thought that I was just going to find work, if not within weeks, at least within a few months. So as I was living there, applying for things, not finding work, obviously traveling from there also to here in Johannesburg, it's a bit of a distance. It's costing me money going to interviews and things like that. And I'm not getting any good news. I just hit a point where I just started feeling like everything is just, nothing is coming together and everything feels pointless. It's like everything I try, I put so much energy into interviews. I put so much energy into applying every single day, like at least 10 times. If there's a new post I was applying for, it's whether it's editing or camera work or anything, at that point, I was just like going for anything. And then I realized I'm just not okay. I'm just not okay. I started feeling defeated. And that's when I just realized, Wootsie, everything is just feeling like nothing matters to me. I feel like I don't have a reason to just be alive even. I then went through a phase where I just felt like maybe suicide is the best option. And that was just very tough for me because I noticed I'd never been depressed before or just sad in jail, you know. But it was just like a different type of sadness. It was a disappointment. Like I was disappointed in myself and there was nothing I could do about it to change the situation at the time. And so I felt like the way out is me to basically just, you know, go out and just commit suicide. But I was also caught up between wanting to continue pursuing my dreams in Gauteng and also stuck between feeling like, but everything I'm attempting, nothing is coming together. So it's like, okay, cool. I'm sad. I'm down. I'm failing. I'm a failure. At the same time, I know I can still do it. So I was caught between those two walls. And then that's when I thought of, well, okay, I need something to pull me out of that, you know, pull me out of that hole. And I was like, okay, what can I do to make myself feel like I'm useful, at least to get in the world, if not to my sister, since I couldn't help her with groceries and things like that. And me not also wanting to move back home, because also even there's going to be worse. And I was going to feel like people are looking at me as this failure who came from Gauteng chasing her dreams and failed. And now she's moved back to the townships. You know, I was like, I'm not even willing because I know I can do better. You know, I tasted that bit of success. If I can call it that, at that stage in my life, it was success, because, you know, like producing something for one of the biggest broadcasters in South Africa, it was like a big thing for me in my early 20s. So I was like tasting that, And then I could just giving up. I was like, nah. So I needed something to pull me out and actually make me realize it. So, you know, you are valid. You are valid even when you don't have anything. You are valid even when you keep failing and you're trying. At least you're trying. So then I thought to myself, okay, like, what can I do? And that's when I came up with zintle.org. And at the time, it wasn't like something that I didn't even have like an actual idea. It was as if I just received like this calling to just start it. Like it just came to me. I was like, okay, cool. Let me just do this. It will be fine. Because at that time I was like, it's not about making money. It's just about me doing something to make myself feel like I have a reason to stay and make a difference, at least get in the world. Yeah, but, and then, yeah. So then I started Zintle. I think around the same time, that's when, because I started it, but then I didn't even have a website at the time. It was just an idea. Just like, I didn't even have a Facebook page or anything. And then yeah, as I got into the modeling thing, yeah, around I think the next year, and then I got some money from that. Then I was like, okay, let me actually continue with this digital thing. Cause okay, the modeling thing is starting, but it's not really also at the time it hadn't picked up yet. I was like, okay, cool. Let me also just focus on Zintle because at least now I had an idea. I had something to at least be attached to. It's okay. I'm starting this. And then, okay, and then I got a website and then I started working on it. And then I'm reaching out to people because the first donations I did were my own clothes because I didn't have anything to give as I was broke. I had no money and nothing, but I had so many clothes. Then my sister, we teamed up, we gave away some clothes. And that just made me feel, the first donation that I did was to, I think, a church somewhere in Hatfield. It made me feel so good about myself. Like, I felt so positive. I felt as if, you know, I now I have something at least that I'm doing, even though it's not making me money. But I really felt good about it. Okay, at least I'm making a difference in some people's world, even if it's just like one pair of shoes or five for what, you know what I'm saying? It's like at least someone out there is going to be happy for receiving this from me. And it just made me feel like, you know what, you can always just give in life, even when you have nothing. You can give your time, you can give the little bit that you have, but you should never feel like you are useless on the surface of the earth. You know what I'm saying? It's like you can never be useless. So it just gave me a lot of hope. It was okay, actually, I can do this and then I can continue on doing other things with my career. And yeah, I just became more positive as I was helping other people. So through helping other people, I was also helping myself stay positive and just optimistic and just have a better outlook at life. So yeah, it's just been a very interesting journey for me via zintle.org.
Right. So certainly we're certainly fortunate that obviously things did take a more positive note for you, as well as the fact of what you've been able to do with zinclair.org. And basically, as we understand that offers support and content that inspires pretty much all of us to prioritize our well-being while encouraging acts of humanitarian and promoting green living. And so from the context of zin.org, which you are the founder of, you know, how does that work, and how would people be able to reach out to you guys if they wanted to provide donations?
Okay, so recently I removed the, because we also had like a PayPal thing, because I'm thinking locally what we do is because I act as the middle person, so people, they donate clothes and then I send to the organizations that need those clothes or those books and things like that. If they need toys, I help with the toys and things like that. So what people normally do is you go on our website and you click on the contact page, and then you can fill in and say, well, it's okay, either you want to donate or you are seeking help. Because also if you are seeking help, then you can also talk to us. And then when we find some clothes, if you're looking for baby clothes, for example, because I've been getting a lot of those requests and food lately because of COVID-19 and people losing their jobs. So you can go on our contact page on our website, which is zintle.org. That's zintle.org. And you click on the contact page and then you can fill in a form there, and then you submit it to us, and then we get in touch with you as soon as possible. We also have a WhatsApp line that is linked to our Facebook page. If you go on our Facebook and you look for zintle.org, and you'll find us there, and then you can contact us via WhatsApp. Our agents are always on standby to respond to people. And as for people who are abroad outside of South Africa, for now, since I removed the PayPal thing, because I'm also been trying to find ways, because what I prefer doing is when someone donates, then I come back to you and I tell you, okay, your clothes were sent to this organization and you help these people and et cetera, et cetera. So with the money for now, it's still kind of tricky because then I'd have to purchase and then send you proof of what I purchased and I sent it here, which actually I can't do. It's just a matter of time right now. Things are a bit hectic, but I'm going to get into that. So yeah, for now, it's just we can only accept locally, but I'm going to go put back the PayPal thing beginning of 2021. We're going to work on that, me and my team. And yeah, it's just go on our website and get in touch and we'll get back to you.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly. Certainly appreciate you sharing that with us, because, you know, one of the things that I found outside of your modeling career, your broadcasting experience, along with your humanitarian act, is how well you basically bring forth and kind of cultivate. You've got a group of youth individuals that are working for you. And as I was looking at your website, I saw this one quote, I believe, that you guys have on there. And it just really struck a chord with me, because it says, as a team made up of mostly youth, we believe that there should be no fault in seeing documented acts of kindness, as we believe that is how more and more people get motivated and inspired to give back, especially in these modern times where technology has advanced people and spent more of their lives on the internet. As long as one doesn't turn around and undo the good deed they once did when the camera is off, no good act will really go unappreciated, irregardless of how it came about. A life was still impacted positively. Well, Z, I tell you, this has been, you know, just a remarkable discussion with you as we talk about never giving up and all of the things that you've done, you know, the triumphs that you've overcome in the broadcasting, from having your career pulled away from you, how you pivoted and got yourself into the modeling career, and then you became, you know, moderately successful there. And then now with all the humanitarian work that you have going on, it's quite commendable for a person of your age and caliber to be out there on the forefront and doing the great work that you're doing. And we hope that this podcast will resonate with people, basically, as things go forward in support of not only the greater good that you're trying to do out there in the world. And so as we get ready to wrap up, and we've been talking about never giving up, so is there some tips that you would like to leave with our listeners, particularly as it relates to things that you learn throughout the process of your struggles and your triumphs? And in those dark times, you know, what were some of the things that you could share with our listeners that can kind of help them keep themselves motivated and keep themselves inspired as they go through these difficult times in life?
Now, for me, I would definitely have to say it's very important, because with me growing up, coming from a township and also a very cultural background, I felt as if my background was an obstacle for me in life. I always felt like I was being held back because either my English was not good enough sometimes in certain things, or just me as a person, I wasn't good enough, as at the time I was very shy also growing up, and I was kind of bullied, and I was just like very insecure. And so you should never look at things like that. Those things are also a part of your journey. And those are the things that when you are aware of it, okay, I'm shy, or I'm like this, or I'm like that, you work on that. You work on improving your vocabulary. You work on improving your, you know, have some presence in you when you walk into a room. You know, you can build yourself. You can build the person that you want to become. And for me, that's all of that I've been doing. It's been working for me. It's just a matter of the person that I think I am, that's the person that I'm now becoming, because I'm realizing that I can actually be anything that I want. You know, you can teach yourself, you can learn things, and you can get skills. Even the internet nowadays, you can study some courses and things like that just to improve your skills and et cetera, et cetera. So it's all about improving yourself, work on yourself, do some personal mastery and things like that. And just focus on having goals and a vision. And that should then lead you towards something, and it should give you your purpose, and it will drive you towards, you know, having a clearer future, I guess, or at least working towards a better or clearer future, and knowing exactly where you are headed in life, because that's really all that matters. You need to know where you're going in life, and the only person who can find a way, where am I going, is yourself. Stop listening to other people and just do what you feel like you need to do.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for sharing that with our listeners. And I'd like to just end with a quote, because I think it reflects a lot of where you are and kind of how things actually transition for you as you move forward. And the quote goes on and it says, if one dream should fall and break into 1,000 pieces, never be afraid to pick up one of those pieces and begin again. And so with that being stated, Z, thank you very much. Thank you for all the great work you're doing out there. We certainly were delighted to have you on board as a featured guest. We are looking to support and help out in any possible way that we can with your humanitarian acts and the things that you're doing with Zen Claire. And certainly, we wish you a very happy and prosperous new year. And with nothing else left for us to say to our audience, this has been Gregory Proctor and Z Noski, episode 61, Never Give Up. Thank you very much, folks. Bye-bye.